to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, well, welcome to... We still have a Roundtable Podcast.
Wow. It's been like ages.
It's been ages, months at least. Yeah, but welcome to the Roundtable Podcast. Maybe this is the first time you're listening and you're like, I didn't even know you guys did this. We used to a lot. Yeah. Basically, this is a chance when you have questions or, I don't know, you have stuff that you're wrestling with. Dawn and I sit down and we talk through it and look biblically. What is it? Where's the answer for that? And how does it look to follow Jesus? So we got a question this week. That's why we're doing...
I think we need to maybe send it out again that we're doing this, especially with the forgotten prophets. We could get some doozies.
Oh, that's
in
true.
There.
So, why don't we start by saying that if you are listening, we will do this every week if you guys have questions. So you can either email Dawn or myself. So Dawn at npmbchurch.com or Andrew at npmbchurch.com. You can call the church office. We have a church texting number, which I can't remember off the top of my head. But you can go online to our website and you can text us questions. We would love to start this up again as a regular weekly thing. So any question, there's no question that's off limits, unless it's like really dumb, like, do you wear boxers or briefs? That's none of your business.
Biblical questions. Yeah. How to follow Jesus.
So we got a question from a young adult, and the context was, I think some of them were kind of discussing it or just curious about this question. So here's the question. Do babies go to heaven when they die? So a nice light. But I think that's a fair question that... lots of Christians either have wrestled with or will wrestle with, especially when that happens, right? Whether there's lots of people in our church that have either had miscarriages or had, I know of one family that the SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome, that happened to them, a while after their baby was born. And so I think it's a fair question that lots of people are wrestling with, like, do babies just automatically go to heaven if they die? And then I guess biblically, I think both of us and most Christians would go, yes.
but like, because it's an emotional response. Yes. That, well, it's got to be, they haven't really sinned yet, they're innocent, like, surely they're going to be there. But biblically,
why, like, do we have some backing for that? So I don't know how we want to dive into this, because I think both of us would say yes, they do. Babies go to heaven when they die.
But the reality is, it's there's nowhere in the Bible where it specifically says that.
Right.
So
there's no
it's
verse.
Basically, can we determine that from passages in the Bible that most likely that is true, or with confidence, that's true.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't specifically say that anywhere.
Right, and we don't want to just have it as like a false hope that, well, we'll just comfort grieving parents and, oh yeah, for sure, your baby's in heaven. And I think we can, from Scripture, be confident in that, but we just got to do some digging. Like you said, it's not cut and dry. Here's, First Thessalonians 5 that says all babies go to heaven. That's just, that verse doesn't exist. But so I thought it would be good, maybe, because I have two passages that we can look at that kind of not insinuate, but kind of say it without saying it, if you want to say.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be good to, we want to remind ourselves that, first of all, human beings are created in God's image, and that includes unborn children. So not even just, do babies after they're born who die go to heaven. I would say babies in the womb who die. That's included in that. So, we're talking about miscarriages. We're talking about all that kind of stuff, because human beings are created in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says God made male and female. I know you flipped. I think you're looking for, right, he knits us together.
Yeah. Psalm 139 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So, I mean, even David is contemplating and worshiping God that even in the womb, you were knitting me together and forming me like this was a human being. Even from that.
Yeah, and that's important that it's because, our culture would be like, well, it's just a blob of cells. You know, if you lose a baby at 8 weeks, who cares? Yeah. It was just a blob of cells. And that's why Christians are just adamantly opposed to abortion, because we would say it's still just as devastating when you lose a baby who's 4 weeks old or whatever it is, because that's a human being created in God's image. So I thought that would be good to just kind of remind ourselves that all human beings are created in God's image. The other thing that I just scribbled down was to remind ourselves in those moments, God is still sovereign and wise and good and trustworthy. Because I think when stuff like that happens, it can be very tempting to be like, God is not sovereign or wise or good or trustworthy. And so I just wrote down, two passages, Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? So God is the judge of all the earth, and all of his actions and all the things that happen, they're just, even in the midst of like, yeah. Are we sure that that's just? And then Psalm 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. So we just have to remind ourselves, especially with a topic like this, like with the death of babies, like very young, it can be tempting to go, oh man, is God in control? Like, is he good still? So to have those kind of things in place, right? We are created in God's image. Human beings are intrinsically valuable, and they have dignity and worth even from the moment of conception, and that God is good and he is trustworthy. So, Don, do you have a passage that you can go to, like that we can do some digging in to
One for me is like 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is when David committed his sin with Bathsheba, and then the prophet comes to expose David and says that the child that's out of this is going to die.
Yeah, right.
And so David is fasting and praying that maybe, knowing God is a merciful, good God, he begs God to spare the child's life. And David is fasting, praying, not eating, which is fasting. But the news comes that the child dies. And so they were actually nervous telling David, because he was so broken and so distraught over this that they didn't even want to tell him. But while they're discussing it, David says, hey, did this child die? And they go, yes, it did. The baby died. So then David gets up, washes his face, and wants to eat. And they go like, what are you doing? He says, well, while the child was still alive, I prayed to the God of mercy that, you know, he would spare the child, but he didn't. So then he says something kind of remarkable. He says, is the child coming back to me? No, the child is gone, but I'm going to go to the child. I'm going to see him again.
Yep.
So David had this complete assurance that he would see that child in the future. So that kind of, you know, kind of helps us as well, that when a child dies, it's going to be in the presence of God. And, and David had that assurance that he would see this child again.
Yeah.
Knowing the resurrection, knowing good things to come ahead. But so that's an interesting passage where it addresses this issue.
Yeah, right.
So that's one I thought of right away.
Yeah, and I'm going to read one from Deuteronomy chapter 1. But I think it's important too, like, because it's not as if, well, babies get a free pass to heaven because they're not sinners. I think that's important. Like, we're all born sinners, right? It's not as if, okay, well, once you reach 5, then you're a sinner. And I'm like, if you've had kids, you know that kids are sinners from day one.
Says, Psalm 51, from the time I was born, I was sinful.
I have that written down. Yeah, so
they haven't willfully sinned.
No, but we're
still
born with a sinful nature, and you know, we're born sinners. But it's really interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, this is one of the passages I wrote down. And the subtitle, in my Bible, the penalty for Israel's rebellion. And God says this to the people. He says, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Mm-hmm. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he's trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account and said, you shall also not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So before we read verse 39, God is saying certain people aren't going to go into the promised land because of, you know, sin and this evil generation. They're not going to get in. And Moses writing it says, even I am not going to go in. Joshua is going to lead you in. But then verse 39 says, and as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there. And to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. Man, we're having a hard time today. Possess it. But it's just interesting to me that God says, you know, this whole generation, you guys are all not, you're not going to make it in. But as for your little ones, your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they can go in there. And so it's almost as if God is saying, not that they're not born sinners, but they have no knowledge of good or evil. They didn't willfully sin like the generation before them. And so God is saying that they can go into the promised land. And if you read that with Romans 1, which is really interesting as well, at the beginning Paul is writing and he says, you know, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, saying, you know, mankind. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God says, people know God because, I mean, it's plain to them. They can see his attributes, his power, his divine nature, and so they're without excuse. And I remember John Piper in a sermon that he gave, it was about this topic. He was saying, you know, no, babies go to heaven because they have an excuse. They aren't able to comprehend God's eternal power and his divine nature because they're just not aware of that yet. And so he said that the Deuteronomy passage and the Romans 1 passage seems to say God in his grace, because babies are not aware of good and evil when they're born, they're not aware of God's eternal power and his divine nature, that when they die, God in his grace allows them to come into his presence. And I really appreciate it. Piper said, how does that work? I have no idea. He said, what age does all of a sudden they know good and evil? I have no idea. He just said, we just don't know those kind of things. Yeah. But he said, we can be confident that it was interesting preparing. I have a 2-week-old baby at home.
Yeah.
To think there's Oliver sitting there. He has no awareness of right or wrong yet. Like, he's not able to perceive and understand God's power and his divine nature. He's just a baby. He doesn't know that kind of stuff yet.
Yeah.
And so God in his grace, if that baby would die, they would go to heaven. So those were kind of the two passages that I thought of. I didn't even think of the one in about David, but that's an interesting passage. I don't know, Don, do you have other things?
Well, even Luke 18, just Jesus in his reaction to children and, you know, they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. This is Luke 18, verse 15. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them, but Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Even Jesus' reaction to infants and children, like they're allowed to come to him, his positive view of them, I think whether they're alive or whether they've passed away, that attitude is the same, that the children would be allowed to come to him. So even passages like that give us a glimpse of how Jesus sees children,
yeah,
and that they're welcome in his presence, and he welcomes them. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the disciples said, no, we don't have time for that, and he rebukes them, saying, mm-hmm. hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yep.
You got it wrong.
Yeah.
And he says, even those that want to enter the kingdom have to become like children in
yeah.
that innocent, trusting way. So I think that even gives us a glimpse that for children, you know, they're welcome whether they're still here or they have passed away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I think it is, you know, from several places in Scripture that it we can make a, I don't want to say make a case, but kind of, we can kind of do some digging and go, no, with confidence, we could say, yeah, babies who die do go to heaven, not because it's just wishful thinking or we just go, oh man, I feel like it has to be true. There's enough in Scripture that points to that's how it is.
Yeah.
I think that is true. And again, we don't want to bog ourselves down and try and figure out, well, where's the cutoff, right? I think that's just foolishness to try and do that. Mm-hmm. But I think then for when we have people in our church or people in your family or even you yourself, if you've lost, if you've had a miscarriage or if you've lost a baby, I think you can with confidence, not just wishful thinking, but with confidence say, no, like David said, I'm going to see my son or daughter or whatever in heaven one day. And that's why I think lots of people when they talk, especially if you've had a miscarriage or something, you know, when you ask how many kids do you have, you don't discount them, right? You go, yeah, I have 5 kids, 2 are in heaven and 3 are here. That's how we talk because that's just the reality of it, right? So I think we can, hopefully that answered this person's question that, you can look to Scripture and go, no, with confidence mm-hmm. we can say God is gracious and merciful. How that works out, I don't know. How the blood of Jesus covers them when they haven't made a decision, I don't know. I don't think we're meant to know. And I think, too, I wrote this down, you know, all life, no matter how short, is created to glorify God. I think that's really important because a lot of times, you know, if God is sovereign and he's good and he's trustworthy, like, what was the point of that, right? If a baby lives for 3 months or 2 days or, like, what, really? So I think it's important to remind ourselves that all life, no matter how short, is meant to glorify God, and we probably won't see the reality of that on this side. We would go, oh, that was a waste. Mm-hmm. But there's a few passages, right, like Isaiah 43, God says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. And then there's Jeremiah 1:5, where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I mean, that's specifically to Jeremiah, but he says, in the womb, I knew you already. Like, I knew you as you were in your mother's womb. And then even in Galatians 1:15, Paul says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, and he goes on, but that idea of, again, before I was even physically born, like God knew me intimately. So in the tragedy of it, it's hard to think like that. Well, that baby's 3 weeks on earth or 2 years or whatever it is, that was to glorify God. But it is. That's just the reality. And I think once we get to heaven or Jesus returns, we'll see the, oh, okay, that was the point of that, I guess. Yeah. Closing thoughts, Don, or no? I put you on the spot.
Well, I mean, this is personal, too. I mean, we lost the grandson after 12 days. So, I mean, just to anyone listening out there, It is hard to wrap your mind around what is good about this, but to trust our Heavenly Father with that, whether it's a miscarriage or whether it's someone who was only with you a short time, to continue to put your trust in God, who is a loving, good Heavenly Father, and to to lean on that, even though your feelings may not want to come with you, to stay on that anchor. And like Andrew said, someday it will all become clear. But right now, it may not be.
Yep. No, that's good. And yeah, like we often say too, if you're walking through the midst of that, or you have some past pain or hurt, like, we would love to talk with you and walk you through that and help you. So feel free to contact the church or get a hold of one of us. And like we said at the beginning, if you have other questions that maybe this brings up, or other questions not related to this, let us know, and we would love to make this a more regular thing again, where we can just answer real questions that you have as you seek to follow Jesus. So hopefully that has answered your question, and I'm going to say maybe we'll talk to you next week. Who knows? Maybe the questions will start flooding in. But God bless you, and hopefully this has been helpful.